Okay.
I wanted to speak about the parsha this morning. And this week's parsha, we all know, is Parsha Tazria. Let's get right to it. When we discuss this concept of Parsha Tazria and the importance of Maisa, of what it means. There's a notion that we need to investigate, and that is the concept of tzaras. The Gemara says in Maseches Erekin, there's seven sins that cause tzaras. Not just one, but seven. The most famous we all know is Lashon Hara. But I want to discuss with you something else, another Aveira, and that is the concept of stinginess. Tzarasayin. What does the meaning of tzarasayin? Tzarasayin is stinginess, but it means literally a narrow eye. What do you mean by a narrow eye? It means, number one, you don't want to give to other people because you're stingy. But number two, it means that you have a constricted vision. And what is a constricted vision? That you see the what? The bad in the person. You're never able to see the good. You always see the bad, bad, bad. And you never look at them in a positive light. You're always negative. Always looking at them negatively. You follow me? That's why it's constriction, narrowness of vision, because that's really what it is. And that is one of the reasons a person gets saras. The Pasuk says, Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Nun Hei, the Kohen shall look after the lesion, has been washed, and behold, the lesion has not changed its color, and the lesion has not spread. It is pure, and it shall burn. You shall burn it in fire. If a garment made of wool, linen, or leather develops a green or red affliction, it must be shown to a Kohen. The Kohen quarantines the garment for 7 days, after which he examines it to see if the affliction has spread during this period. If it has spread, what's it did? The garment must be burnt. If it has not, the garment is washed and locked up for a second 7-day period. If at the end of this period of the second phase, the affliction is dimmed, it is ripped out of the garment, and the remainder of which may then be used. However, the Torah decrees that if the Kohen sees that this second 7-day period, the color of the garment remains the same, the entire garment must be burnt in fire and destroyed. Did you know that? That's the din. So the Chiddush Arim is Masbir. During the time that the garment is quarantined, its owner should be focused on what? Repenting the sin that caused it to be afflicted in that place. The Gemara in Erekin, Tetzainov, lists 7 sins that can cause saras, one of which is saras ayin, viewing others with a narrow and stingy eye. If a person is stricken with an affliction on one of his garments, and as a result of this sin, it is incumbent upon him to work on relating to others with a more generous spirit in order to rectify his sin and prevent his garment from being destroyed. In light of this, the expression Lo hafach hanega es eino, the affliction did not change its color, can also be understood as an allusion to the reason that such a garment must be burned. Instead of utilizing the 7-day period to change his outlook towards others and develop within himself a positive and giving attitude, the stain remained the same or got bigger. Lohafak Anegas Eno, the stingy eye with which he viewed others didn't change, and he still possesses the same miserly worldview that brought about the initial affliction. As a result, the Torah HaKadosh gives no choice but to burn his garment and remove it from the world. You hear that, Pshat? Sam, the stinginess, the mice. What is saras ayin? The constriction of the vision where we will not look at positive things. Rav Lev Lapian points out that the letters in the word nega, affliction, and oneg are identical. Hear this? Let's get it. Oneg and nega. Neg is affliction. What is oneg? Pleasure, delight. They're identical. The only difference between them is the location of letter ayin. And in the case of nega, it's the last letter. In the case of oneg, it's the first letter. Yes? This can happen analogically. Shlomo HaMelech writes that Hachacham Eina Barosho. A wise person places his dies in front. This can homiletically interpret his teaching that by training one's eyes to focus on the strengths and talents of others, which correspond to the front, a person can place the letter ayin at the beginning of the world. And look at what? It'll become a happy person whose life will be joyful, oneg. Or he puts the letter ayin at the end of the word by allowing himself to always seek out other people's shortcomings and weaknesses, he'll become a bitter and stingy person whose life will be transformed into a nega, one full of afflictions and suffering. You got that? Beautiful. Nega ayin. I love that shot of Tsaris ayin, the constriction of the vision. Constriction of the vision. You follow this? That's how it's constriction of the vision. Okay, let's continue now. Comes out. You guys know the other five Averis? Lashon Hara, Tsaras Ayin, right? What are the other five? There are other five Averis. Let's list them so you should know it. I think the other ones are Ritzicha, Gilui Arayos, Avodah Zarah. That's five. What's the two others? Stealing, Gezel. And what's the last one? Shu'a Shav. This is what I think so. But let's check the Gemara B'daf Tet Zayin Amar Aleph. You guys ready? You have to know this. We have to know every Gemara that we quote. It comes out of our pen. Here we go. You ready? Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani Riyokhan. Al Shiva Dvarim Degoyim Boim. Al Lashon Hara 1. Al Shvichos Domin 2. Al Shvua Shav 3. Al Gili Arayas 4. Oh, I missed it. Val Gassas Ruach 5, Gaiva. Val Gezel 6, Tsaras Ayin. What did I do? I did Gili Arayas. No, I did what? I did Avodah Zarah instead of what? Instead of Gaiva. You follow me? You could say that maybe Avodah Zarah is included in Gaiva. You worship yourself. You worship the dollar. You're a Val Gaiva. We're Tafizis and Shas. Ted Zion and Malaf and Eric, and this is the Daf about the Lashon Hara. Okay, let's continue now. Most impurities, the Pasuk says, please get it. The Kohen shall look at the lesion on the skin of his flesh. And if herein the lesion is turned white and the appearance of the lesion is deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a lesion of Tsaras. The Kohen shall see it and declare him impure. In other words, if the Kohen doesn't make him Tamei, he's a Poisek. Until the Kohen says Tamei, it's not Tamei. Did you know that? It has to be a Psak from the Kohen. It's not, you don't go to a dermatologist. There has to be a Psak from a Kohen whether this is what? It's not Hansen's disease. It's only Tsaras if it comes out of a Psak from the Kohen's mouth. It's not impetigo. Follow me? It's a psak, what I say. Shmuel, it's great to see, even though you're mocher. Even though you're mocher. Seven averis cause what? Cause the negoyim. Seven averis. Gemara Nerken Daftet Zayin Amar Aleph. The Gemara says what? Lashon Hara? Tsaras Ayin. Yes? Tsaras Ayin is stinginess, narrowness of the vision. We always are negative. Look at the negative part of people. Lashon Hara, Shvichos Domin, Shvua Shav, Gilui Arayos, Gazruch, Algevel, Tsar, Zayin. You got it? All seven. Let's get it down. Good morning, Eric. Good afternoon, Zayin, Amar Aleph. Most impurities are physical realities that immediately take effect upon a contact with the impure item, a dead body, an impure person. On the other hand, determination of the status of Saras is not dependent upon the onset of the skin affliction, or even upon the evaluation of the coin. It depends solely upon the verbal proclamation of the coin, Tome, which causes the commencement of the Taras. Why is this type of impurity determined in this unique manner? Listen to this. The following powerful story will help us understand what makes Taras different. One day in Yerushalayim, two old friends encounter one another on a bus. Excited at the opportunity to catch up with one another, they sat down together and began talking. In the course of their conversation, one of them casually mentioned the name of an old friend. The other replied, "You didn't hear? She just got engaged last week to so-and-so." This news left her friend with both elated and shocked. "That's so wonderful that she finally got engaged. But to him? Who would have thought that she would settle for a person with so many problems?" Wow. Taking the bait, the one who shared the news agreed to proceed to list problems not only with the groom, but also with his family's reputation. The conversation went back and forth, with each of them heaping more and more questions on the match. After 5 minutes, a woman who was sitting behind them turned to the gossip person and remarked, "I know you didn't realize this, but I'm the aunt of the young woman that you have been discussing." Can you imagine this? "We obviously didn't know about these serious allegations about the young man and his family. As soon as I get home, I'm going to call my niece and convince her to break the engagement." Wow. Aghast at the unexpected turn of events, the friends begged her not to do so. "They Masber, we were just innocently chatting about recent events. We didn't mean any of the things that we had said. Most of them were exaggerated. Please don't break up this engagement because of our poor judgment." Just then, the bus reached the woman's stop. The sagacious, what's the word sagacious mean? Can't hear you. The sagacious woman paused before exiting and taught them an invaluable lesson. "You have nothing to worry about. I'm not really your aunt. I was lying, but I could have been." Chofetz Chaim is Masber that because of one of the primary causes of Tzaras is speaking Lashon Hara, the status of its impurity is specifically dependent upon the speech of the Kohen. Many times a gossiper rationalizes actions by claiming that their mere words can't inflict any harm. But just as the two friends learned on the bus, we hint to him how much damage words can cause by showing him that his impure status hinges upon the verbal proclamation of the Kohen. You follow me? It depends upon words. The words are critical. You saw that in the middle of the Gemara? Shiva Dvarim. Okay, we got this story. We got to be very careful about it. Lashon Hara. It's a bad deal, guys. Okay, let's continue now. Now, the Gemara says in the Dvarim, in the Samach Dalet, there are four people that are considered like mace, God forbid. Who are they? A Metzora, an Ani, someone who, God forbid, has no children, and what's number four? A blind person. Gemara in the Dvarim, Daf Samach Dalet, and Beis. Arba Nashim, Nechshav Kemeis. However, the Metzora asks people to pray for him. Let's get it. Where does he ask people to pray for him? The Dvarim, Daf Samach Dalet. I think it's Samach Dalet and Aleph, or Samach Dalet and Beis. I think it's Samach Dalet and Beis. We'll look it up. But I want you to know another Gemara. The Gemara says that the Metzora calls out that people should daven for him, that it should get better. Tome, tome yikre. You with me? What does it say in Pasuk? Okay, it says like this. Perik Yud Gimel Pasuk Mei. Metzora Shir Bo Anega. Skipping a little bit. The Tomei Tomei Yikra. Warren Shabbos, Daf Samach Zayin Amar Aleph, Sam. Samach Zayin Amar Aleph says you have to tell his Tsar. He has to notify his Tsar to the Rabbim so that people can ask Hashem for mercy for him. Why does the Metzora need to ask other people to ask him for mercy more than other ill people? Number two, Rashi quotes in Breishis, Perek Chaval, Pasuk Zayin, Vayishmel Akim El Kol Anar, that the tefillah of the Cholim are more important to Hashem than the tefillah of others. Other people, right, can daven, but his tefillah about himself is codably skabo. Bless you. So why doesn't the Masora just daven for himself? You know what I'm saying? So what are the two causes? Number one, why does he have to ask other people, convey to other people more than other cholas? And number two, why can't he just daven himself? One kasha answers the other. Yalkana Urim says, I'll be the Zohar. Why is he calling Mitzora Muskar? It's closed off. Muskar tefilosim b'shamayim. His davening is closed off. It's like sasim tefilosi, the pasuk in Eicha. So therefore, he has to tell other people more than other cholim. Because why? His tefillas are blocked off in shamayim. So his tefillas won't be mekubal. So he needs to ask other people. You follow me? And that's why this particular chayla has to ask what? Has to ask other people. So number one, he has to ask other people. Number two, it's only a din by this what? It's only a din by this type of machla. Okay, we got that? Tomei Tomei Yikra. Now the Gemara is in
Shabbos Shabbos Amrav. The word that Gemara the Garim we wanted to check whether it was what of an hour from a base. This is the epitome of laziness. Here I don't even want to get here. Getting up to what? Getting up to see whether what? Whether this is a dark. That is the epitome of laziness. Giving yourself mussar.
But I got up. And therefore, Baruch Hashem, we found the Gemara. We found the Gemara Lamaisa. Bidaf Samach. Dalin of the Beis. We might want to check it. Yes. It's Samach. Dalin of the Beis. You ready? It says like this. Tanya Arba Chashuvin Kemeis. Ani Mitzorah V'suma Mishin Lobonim. I remember, did I tell you, remember I told you this guy once, I sent over this Gemara and someone gave me mussar that maybe there was someone in the audience that didn't have kids. I accepted the mussar, but I'm not sure if he was right. It's a Gemara, you know what I mean? You cannot. Doesn't mean that he's in base. I mean, maybe he's doing other things. Chai, if you adopt children, then it's kibul yoladato. I don't know, what are you supposed to do? Not do a Gemara because of it? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I don't know, maybe I am wrong. I don't know, what do you guys think? What? You happen to agree with him? What happens if it's a big audience?
If it's just, more so, you should agree, even more
of it. There might be more people like that, you mean? You mean come up with a different Gemara, you say? Okay, I hear you. Okay, I accept it. Here we go. It says in the Pasuk in Pirik Yud Gimel, Pasuk Mem Hei, V'atzarua shirbo adega, V'asafim yata, Tomei Tomei Yikra. Why does the Torah say V'asafim yata? He's got to pull a scarf over his head. It's called Atifis Rosh, yes? Why does he have to pull it over his head? So Shlomo Kluger says in the Sefer Mishefer, that the Goyim come from Lashon Hara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes two mechitzas. What are the two mechitzas? What are the two mechitzas? Shinaim, teeth. Shinaim, teeth. Where are you been, Bench? Where are you been? I mean, come on. You got a beer every day at night. I mean, if you're coming, you got to be able to expect that Achrayus. It's good to see you, though, nonetheless. Always good to see you. The teeth and the Svatayim. What's the teeth and Svatayim mean? The teeth and the lips are mechitzas of bad words, of Lashon Hara. But what? He still spoke Lashon Hara. So which one does he need? He needs a third fence. What's that? The scarf over his head. It's not enough the teeth and the lips. He needs to have a scarf over his head. A tifus rosh. Now, we don't do a tifus rosh nowadays. Why not? In Avelis. Why don't we do a tifus rosh? Because they're going to be afraid, Lamaris is going to make fun of us, the Goyim. You follow me? We don't do a Tivis Rosh by a man, Siddur Shiva. Some people wear their hat the whole week. I tried to during Siddur Shiva. You wear your hat. But wherever you ever find, you do away with Allah because the Goyim will make fun of you. So you know what the Vort is? The Vort is that since they make fun of it, it's not considered to be a begging. Since they make fun of you, it's not considered to be a begging, you consider it to be Yaitseh. If it's Roshan, you pull it over your head. So notice this guy needs three fences: his teeth, his lips, and now he needs a scarf over his head. You follow me? Because he's involved in the Lashon Hara.
What if you were to wear the Indian thing?
I don't think that they make fun of him, Lamaisa.
Why they make fun of it?
It's not a begging, Lamaisa. They make fun of it so it's not considered to be a begging. It's wearable.
It's their begging.
That's a chiddush. Okay. One of the things about Abba Lashon Hara is that he's a faker. He makes you, you know, he's nice to you, and then he's mean to what? He's nice to you, and what does he do? He's mean to you behind your back. Yeah? Stabs you behind your back. It's a Baal Lashon Hara. Want you to know something. If he's got it all over his body, he's tahar. That's not saras. Because he's not playing any games. It's all out there. He puts it all out there. It's all over his body. That's not hatzaras. Skipping the Torah and then kula hafach laman tohru. Don't you think it covers his whole body? Shouldn't it be more so than get saras? Says the Sefer Shari Simcha B'derech Musar. It's Yadua that the Rishayim L'maisa, Rishayim Mefursamim, are much more to damage other people than Acherim Nizara Behem. You know what you're dealing with, at least. Izarum and it's Sivonim. Sivonim are what? People that are phonies. Careful of the phonies. The Kli Yakar says, what is the pig? What is the pig? Rome. The Medrash says it's connected with Rome. What does he do? Sticks out his hooves all day. When saying that he's kosher, split hooves. When in reality, what? There's a Jewish God. He's nothing but a what? Faker, and he's tummy. Yes? That's exactly what the Kli Yakar says. He says, Esav's like the Chazir, because he's Poishi Tlov. Same thing by someone's Cheda Lashon Hara. You know what you have to do? When you get Tzaras, you have to stand outside the three camps, and you have to live by yourself. You can't even live with other Mitzoroyim. Let you be by yourself. You're not allowed to do any Chesed. Be by yourself, Lamaisa. And you say, Tomei Tomei Yikra. He calls out to other people to equate, to reveal his wickedness. But if it's all over the place, it's all over his body, he's tahar. That's not considered to be tzaras. You got that? Interesting, did. You never want to be a fake. You want to be authentic. Your friends, if you want that to be. Now, who wants to give a Dvar Torah tonight? Sam? Shmuel? No? Shmuel, you'll prepare 4 minute Lamaisa.
Wait.
Ben, do you want to come for the Shabbat brachos? Yeah, tonight, for my daughter got married on Sunday. What'd you say? You want to come? You're invited if you want to come. 6:45. You can be in touch with Sam with the Uber. I'm paying for the Uber. 656 Allwood Place. Okay, let's continue now. Yeah, then we got a lot to do in Kirtofel. Guys, I want to try to finish it up today. Let's see. Okay? Let's get a little bit more. And I want you to get this. We're talking about the din of Tazriah. Tazriah, Lamais, is usually a double parsha, Tazriah, Mesera. You cop a rhyme with the Schneidmaker of Echad Targum. Okay? Let's go. Okay. Adam, Kiyeb, Bor, Besaro, Seisus, Sopachas, Beheres, Vayab, Bor, Besaro, Lenegat, Saras. If a man should have on the skin of his flesh, Seisus, Sopachas, Beheres, and be in the skin of his flesh, is Saras affliction. The shot, meaning of the three translated terms of the verses, represent three shades of white that are indicative of Tzaras. You ready? Three shades of white. However, the post can point out, you know, Rabinovich has all sefer Maseches Nagoyim. The post can point out that these three terms also allude to three reasons why a person may be drawn towards speaking Lashon Hara. The primary cause of Tzaras. What's Se'es mean? It relates to the word Neso, which means raised up. A person may feel that exposing the faults and the shortcomings of others, he can thereby what? Raise himself up. People attack other people, raise themselves up. Sapachas, what's sapachas? Sapachas relates to the word safiyah, which means attachment. He may feel that his gossip may enable him to attach himself to a peer group and gain acceptance in their eyes. You don't have to come to us and do bad things to be accepted. You come to us with good things. We want you to do good things. Lamaisa, bench. You know how some people want to be in a group so they do bad things and they'll be accepted. On the contrary, in our group, you want to do good things, Lamaisa. Yes? And that's what the word in the soul is. People speak Lashon Hara about other people, the one lift themselves up. What's sapachas mean? Attachment. He may feel that his gossip may enable him to attach himself to a peer group and gain acceptance in their eyes. Now, what's number three? Baharis, Bahir, which means lighter illumination. A person may feel that his critical analysis and breakdown of people's characters will reveal him as being possessed of enlightenment and illuminated sight. I'll tell you, I'm a psychologist. I can break this guy down. Meanwhile, you slander him and everything, trying to show that you what you're a real good psychologist. Come on. So let's chazer over this. What is it again? Se'es, which is like the word the soul, lift yourself up. What's sapachas? Attach yourself to people that people think you're cool because why? You speak badly. And what's number three? Baharis, which means white. You feel a critical analysis breakdown, reveal him as being possessive of enlightenment and illumination. Guy, oh, this guy's a real psychologist. Any and all of these motivations can result in a person receiving the affliction of tzaras, mentioned at the end of the pasuk. Needless to say, in addition to being morally wrong, the result of speaking lashon hara is frequently the exact opposite to the above mentioned benefits that the person was anticipating. His slander can simply reveal to be unkind and insecure, breeding only derision and suspicion among those with whom he interacts. It is with these temporal matters, too, that the Shlomo HaMelech cautions. You ready? So, Pesuk in Mishlei. You ready? Chaf Aleph of Gimel. Shomer piv uleshoina shomer mitzaras nafshoi. One who guards his mouth and tongue protects his soul from distress. You got it? One who guards his mouth and tongue protects his soul from distress. And that can include Lashon Hara, too. Can include Nevel Peh, too, as well. All right, let's get to the last shtickel. Then we got a break. What's up, shot with a korban yoledes? When a woman gives birth, she's got to bring a korban. That's the beginning of the parsha. So what's it all about? The opening parak of our parsha deals with the dinim of a yoledes, a woman who gives birth, stipulating her days of impurity, and then purity culminating in the special korbanos that she needs to bring at the end of those set of days. As is sometimes the case with certain korbanos, the Torah stipulates a different makeup of the korbanos depending on the person's financial status. Number one, if she can afford it, what does she bring? A lamb and a bird. If that is beyond her means, what does she bring? Two birds. You got it? She has the means, a lamb and a bird. She doesn't have the means, two birds. Two options are set forth in Pasuk Vav and Ches, respectively. What is most interesting is what appears in the sandwich Pasuk, which is Zion, in between these two Pasukim. Zos Torah HaYoledes LaZachor LaNekeva. This is the Torah law of one who gives birth to a male or a female. The Pasukim wonder. This phrase, which appears to be the one of summation, seems to have been written before the discussion has been actually completed. Certainly would have been more appropriate at the end of Pasuk Ches, when all the possible sets of kavanas have been discussed. Why are we concluding the section kavanas before it's actually conclusion? It's a great kasha. Zos Torah HaYoledes, not done yet. You have Pasuk Ches, that's Pasuk Zion. The Ponim Yofes is Masbir, the great aflaw, that this placement too teaches us halacha. As we know, whenever there's an obligation to bring a korban, but we aren't able to do so, we read the relevant psukim in the Torah describing that offering as a partial compensation fulfillment of actually bringing it. This is the basis of our reading and reciting the offerings that are brought on Shabbos and the festivals of the Musaf prayer or the day's Torah reading. So too, a woman who gives birth but is unable to bring the korbanos should recite the relevant psukim. However, this verse raises an interesting question. If a woman could only afford to bring the less expensive combination of korbanos, which verses should she recite? Do we say that her recitation should reflect the offering she would actually bring, or no? Or do we say that while she might not be able to bring the sheep and bird, she actually can afford to talk about them? Yes? Let her say the psukim, even though she practically can. You got that kasha? The answer to this kasha is our pasuk. One of the sources for the accounts of reading the Torah, in the case we're bringing the korbanos itself is not possible, is the phrase, this is the Torah law of, which is expounded as a literally referred to the Torah of that offering. It is for this reason that the Torah plays the phrase between Pasuk Vav and Ches, in order to indicate that while practically not everyone will bring the same korban, nevertheless, in terms of the Torah section, one reads all about the first option. This is a classic example of the importance of paying attention, not only what the Torah says, but to where it says it. Ultimately, the full meaning emerges not only from the Pasuk's locution, but also from its location. What does locution mean? What did you say? But it also you can learn from its location. So what you see here is that Lomaisa doesn't make any difference what practically you're going to bring. While practically not everyone will bring the same korban, but in terms of the Torah section, what we read, everyone reads what it's all about the first option. So everyone reads the same thing. Now, I want to close with this. I think this all is bothered by something. Why is there impurity when the woman gives birth? Such a beautiful thing, having a child. God willing, you'll get married, you have a child. think I once told you, my first child was born, I think even the others, but certainly I remember the first child. You feel like Hashem is in the room. It's unbelievable. Stand by the wife, your wife's head, you know, that's what Buckham sneeze. But it's like the baby's born, it's mom's, I felt like the baby's was in the room. Maybe people feel that all the time, but the Meisim, it was unbelievable, guys. It was just unbelievable. So why is this created purity? Why? For a boy, it's 7, 33 days of Torah. For a girl, it's 14, 66 days of Torah. Why? I want you to get this. Impurity is a function of the absence of life. Thus, the highest level of impurity comes from the body of a deceased person, a mace. Avos, avi avos atumo. When a woman gives birth, she parts with life of the child that she has produced and hence experiences tuma impurity because it's she's now void of life. It's not in her anymore. In this instance, of course, it is a loss over which she rejoices, for the life has gone from inside of her into the world outside. Additionally, it is for this reason that the days of impurity when one is a girl are double those for one who has a boy. Since a girl herself will, in time, God willing, be capable of producing life, her exit from the womb represents the parting with more life than in the case of a boy. Hence, the tumah over that loss lasts longer. You got this? It's a void of life, so that's why she's coming. But if she has a girl, it's more tumah because that girl will what? Will be able to have a what? That girl will be able to have a child herself too as well. So therefore, it's double. Because the girl in time will be capable of producing life. So her exit from the womb represents the parting with more life than in the case of a boy, because she could have another child. So if she could have another child, you have what? You have this double tumor for the girl over the what? Over the boy. So the tumor over the loss lasts longer, because it's like someone's leaving your body who can also eventually have children. It's like a double life left. You follow me? For mice, and therefore what? Therefore, that's why it's an extension of the tumor. Okay. I've been tangled with the string here. I just got out of it. Okay, let's break here. I have the Marba Kaimis already. Let's go over. Guys, we've got to keep building.